Well, good evening. Thank you very much for coming out. At the start of this new year, you might already be busy yourself thinking and planning ahead. New Year's resolutions are fresh and about. It's amazing to see so many joggers out on the pavements, and best of luck to them to make it last. Maybe you're here because you come here every Sunday. Maybe you're here because you're looking for guidance in your life. Maybe you're here because God's word is precious to you, as precious as a pearl may be. Today we want to think about the gospel. So the word gospel is an old English word, and when Philip just read his part of Matthew, then at one place it already said the good news rather than the gospel, as how it is not translated in my version. So the word gospel simply is an old English way of saying good word or good news. And we know that Jesus went around and spread the good news of the kingdom, as we just read. In a nutshell, that was the key part of Jesus's message. But we know Jesus lived and died and was resurrected a very long time ago. So is this news still relevant today? And what else can it tell you and me? We'll pick up some bits this evening, which I hope will help us all refocus and renew our own commitments that we made to God for the year ahead. So let's start at the beginning. Jesus, who the Gospels introduce to us as the Son of God, born of Mary, this Jesus begins talking to people about something really important. Jesus starts telling people that the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, has come near. This is good news for people who have grown desperate once again for God to intervene and to free them from their oppressors. Jesus also had another good thing going for him. As he was going around telling people the good news, he healed their sick. People who came to him were healed if they asked him for this. So the good news spread like otherwise only bad news does. Everybody got to hear about this and got to hear about this new teacher who tells you good news and also heals people. The people in this case, in Jesus' time, were the Jews living in the promised land, but they were not living there alone. The Romans had taken over, and the local king was subject to their rules. Jesus told them that the kingdom of God is near, and it seems like a lot of the people may well have misunderstood him and thought that he'd be ridding them of the evil Romans. But Jesus never really bothered the Romans, and the Romans didn't much bother him. He was always only concerned for the people. And the oppressor he was looking to free them from was not the Roman emperor, but something else entirely. The oppressor Jesus was offering to save people from was sin and death itself. Jesus, no more death is what the conclusion of the good news really is. Not ridding yourself of pesky Romans or your boss or anything like that, anything sort of temporal. No, overcoming death, eternal life. This is the good news that Jesus was spreading. So how is this possible? And part of the solution, at least, is already there in this passage that we've got on the screen. It's the word repent, really. Jesus's preaching was full of good news, that's true. But Jesus also had a challenge for the people who listened to him. Repent. Repent means to renew one's actions and feeling regret for past or present wrongdoings, which is then accompanied by a commitment and actual actions that show and prove a change for the better. Yeah, so you understand that something you've done or that something you are actually currently doing is bad, and you don't just say, all right, I'll stop doing it. You actually really do stop doing it. That's what repent means. That's maybe a bit wordy, but in other words, it means that you acknowledge that you've done things you regret, and you don't just leave it at that, but you actually change your behavior and improve. In a Jewish context, this meant that the people should turn back to God, their God, whom they had ignored and whose rules they had broken. Repent, Jesus says to them. And it's what Jesus says to anyone who thinks about following him. Jesus preached the good news and spread his message far and wide. But he also lived and died by these words. His words were and are trustworthy because he showed us what it means to live by them. So every time we come across the Sermon on the Mount or the Sermon on the Plain, when we read the Bible with our seminar participants, every time we read Jesus's words, we all take a deep breath and acknowledge that living by the words Jesus preached is as good as impossible for us. Loving your enemy, rejoicing and being glad because someone just insulted or persecuted you for standing up for Jesus. The reality is that I don't much love my enemy, and that rejoicing is not the natural reaction I have to being persecuted. The list could go on. Jesus's sermons, all of them really, are truly challenging to us. They were challenging to the people at the time. And some who listened to him did acknowledge that and knew that it wasn't for them, and they moved away, they turned away. But please, all of us, take these words seriously. Every word of Jesus is measured and considered. He knew that he was throwing us all a huge challenge. Have a look at Matthew chapter 16. In verse 24, then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Only one man ever completely did fulfill this challenge, and it is Jesus, of course. Nobody else did. But nonetheless, he has challenged us all to go and do likewise, to truly repent, and to see how Jesus gave us all words of encouragement, but also words of challenge and growth. Come over to Matthew chapter 13, just a few pages back, and verse 44. Here we have a whole chapter, almost a whole chapter of parables, and we'll only look at two. Verse 44, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Again, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it." So these two small parables were pictures that illustrate what Jesus was trying to tell us. First, he compared the coming kingdom of God with a treasure hidden in a field. A man finds it and hides it again, then buys the whole field with all he has to make it his, and then he's happy. The second parable is the other way around, really. The kingdom of God is a merchant looking for pearls of great value. When the merchant finds the pearl, he spends everything to get that pearl. I went on a bit of a tangent here, which is why the pearl is right there on your pictures. A pearl, you probably know this, is formed when an irritant enters a shell or an oyster. The oyster then goes and coats the irritant layer for layer with nacre, the same material mother of pearl is made of. This material is strong, resilient, and iridescent, which gives it such a beautiful sheen. Good, really valuable pearls are extremely rare in the natural world. Most pearls today are gained by human intervention. Someone is adding an irritant or just manipulating the oyster in just the right way to make it start producing a pearl. A pearl of great value, I would presume, would have been a well-shaped, sizable pearl. In Jesus's days, this would have been very valuable and very rare indeed. So this is what the merchant is out looking for. The merchant then knows what a good pearl is and what it looks like. The kingdom of heaven is looking for pearls of great value, pearls that were formed just right when their host was irritated and reacted to something. The merchant is a picture for the kingdom of heaven. What kind of a pearl would it be that the kingdom of heaven is interested in? A pearl that is formed around an irritant, a pearl that was produced in response to something that has happened to that oyster. You are the oyster. And you, yes, you are supposed to produce a pearl. You've been irritated by God's word. And if you haven't, then read the Sermon on the Mount again. If it doesn't irritate you, you've not read it. So now you've heard this message via the Gospels that were written about him. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Just like the people at the time of Jesus, we also need to repent, need to turn and walk towards God. It's your response to God's word, your response to Jesus's message that will put layer upon layer on that first thing, onto the word that you have heard, that you've reacted to, that is irritating you and making you do something beautiful in this case. I think Jesus talks about this when he is asked what the greatest commandment is, and he says, well, love your Father who is in heaven and love your neighbor as yourself. Easy, small words. But if you keep them in the center of your life, you will be adding layer upon layer around this and acting, trying to find ways of acting out the challenge that these words give you. The Apostle Paul was also like one of us in the way that he also had to do a lot of repenting, and that he's left us some advice in his letters. In Galatians chapter 5, he spells out what these layers of material are that we can fix around God's word. He writes in Galatians chapter 5 from verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. These are the layers that we can start growing around that word that irritates us, that we need to react to. So then the good news is that the kingdom of heaven is drawing ever nearer, and that you, yes, you are invited to join. All you need to do is let yourself be irritated by God's word, to start putting down layers of strong, resilient, iridescent fruits of the Spirit in your life. That way, you are growing into that pearl, are growing that pearl. That way, when the merchant comes, he will recognize you and the beautiful deeds you'll have been busy with. So may God bless us all in trying to work out these good deeds.